thing that you've just done in our lives, and we just thank you for your purpose and your plan in Christ Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you just for moms. I know that I'm so thankful for my mother and just the way that you designed them to operate and to work in their hearts, Lord, that's such a gift from you. And I pray that you just, for those who are in you, Lord, that they might just really rejoice in the way that you have just ordered and created life to work. And I thank you so much for everyone here. God, would you bless our time? Would you help us to really look to your word, to submit underneath you, Lord, and help us to think about how we can be reaching out to people around us and how we can create a culture of evangelism here, how we can, Lord, just really take up your word and go forth to all people. And Lord, may we see people baptized here. May we see people coming to know you and growing in their faith and their walk with you and just coming to see you as their Lord and Savior. And so we praise you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we are on part three of the soul winning life and its aim. So part one, we kind of went over the myths of the soul winning life and surrounding it. So we kind of talked about different myths surrounding evangelism. In part two last time, we just simply walked through the gospel. And I outlined kind of just acronym for the gospel. If you want the slides from that, I can always send that to you. Or if you just want the presentation, I can give that to you too. But really, in the gospel, we kind of handed out some pamphlets that just have a short summary of it. Also, there's different gospel tracts that we have out there too that you can utilize when you're talking to people. But we just walked from kind of creation and everything all the way to the hope and the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And today we're talking about the soul-winning life and its aim. The soul-winning life and its aim. So what is our aim in evangelism, in sharing the gospel with people? Can someone tell us what our aim is? This is a trick question, and it's super easy. It's not tricky, though. Yeah, our aim is to proclaim the gospel, right? So in evangelism, let's outline what evangelism is not. Evangelism is not going just to another country and handing out food. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is not just going out and mowing your neighbor's lawn. Okay, now all those things are great things. Those are great platforms and pedestals from which we could proclaim the gospel, because we are called to be salt and light. We are called to be people who are to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go. But let's understand that we, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to proclaim a specific message. And that message we talked about last week, review it if you haven't gone through that before, but it's to proclaim the gospel to all people. So our aim in evangelism is to proclaim the gospel. We want to tell about those, we want to tell people about this message, about this treasure that we have found in this field that we have sold everything for, about this Lord and Master that we have submitted our whole entire lives to. This is the aim of our life. This is the purpose of our life. This is what we are to be all about. And so we are to be pointing people to God. And this is the aim of the soul-winning life. So, I want to... It is on. Thanks, Bob. You might have to help me out here. Okay, go one more. All right, so how do we get to the gospel? So, how do we get to the gospel? Okay, many times we think about, like, this has always got to be awkward, this has got to be hard, and sometimes it is. I would just want to line this out as an expectation, and something that we were at a recent... conference with Alexander Schrock, which he told us to be warning you guys about. One, our culture is growing ever more hostile to the gospel and to Christianity just in general, because it's becoming more and more secularized. So I wanted to say this expectation loud and clear. The gospel is dividing. Jesus said, "I came with a sword," and he even talked about dividing amongst families. It is divisive. It is not comfortable at times to talk about the gospel of people, because one, when you're telling someone that they're a sinner, and most people generally think they're a pretty all right person, that doesn't tend to go over very well in our fleshly hearts and everything. In fact, the evil one seeks to blind the minds of the unbelievers. He seeks to keep them in that blindness. There's spiritual warfare that goes on when we're engaging in the gospel. But at the same time, even though we know it's confrontational, we know that we are called to do it. So how do we engage in it? Do we engage in it like salespeople? Do we pull out all these tricks and these whims and try to just do it in really creative ways? I don't know about you, but I hate talking to salespeople on a whim at times. I was in Costco when I was in seminary, and I was at Sam's Club. That was what it was. I was in Sam's Club. I was grabbing errands for student life and events at the seminary, and I was there, and there was a lady there, and she pointed at me. She's like, come over here and try this out. Well, what are you going to do or whatever? So I walk over there, and she starts rubbing this lotion on my arm, and she's like, this is from the Dead Sea of Israel. This salt's and it's special. And all this stuff started coming off my wrist. She's like, you know what this is? And I was like, what is it? And she's like, that's dead skin. Why would you ever want that on your body? And you need this. And I was like, so turned off at that point. I was like, I cannot wait to leave this person. This is so just like in your face. You're messed up. All these things was not very engaging. And that really turned me off. Another time, me and my wife, we went to a birth class for Judah. And we were going to this birth class, and there was this other couple there, and we really connected with them. We were talking with them, and Abby and I were like, it'd be really cool to get to know this other couple. So we got their information, and we contacted them. We're like, hey, like, it was really fun getting to know you guys and everything. We might like to have you over sometime. And they're like, oh, we would love to have you over too. We have this whole entire, like, basically pyramid scheme, and we'd love for you to hear about it and get involved and all these things. Well, guess what? We never really met up with them. More or less, you just kind of were like, why do I want to go over to someone's house just to be received a whole entire speech, to be pushed upon, pressed upon, and I know that they personally don't care about me. I know that they really don't even know me, they don't even want to get to know me, and they don't even care about who I am. And we want to say that evangelism must be personal. Evangelism must be personal. Evangelism is talking to image bearers of God. Think about that. People who God has given a mind to, who God has given a conscience to, who God has made in his image. This is an appeal to people. And this is something, too, that we are expected when we want to make Christians, when we help lead someone to Jesus Christ, we are called to make disciples, which there's involvement there. There is a process of bringing someone up. There is a process of pouring into them then if they are a new believer. Many times when you see Paul go into a new town, he's preaching the gospel, right? What happens is people come to know Christ, and then what does he do? He stays there. And sometimes he stayed there for a long time, preaching, continuing to teach him, continuing to build up. It was a very personal thing. Know that evangelism must be personal. This is us declaring to people the hope that we have, the hope that we have. And we need to do it in such a way in which we are loving others and treating them as we would like to be treated. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to be people who make this appeal, who have this appeal in such a way that we aren't lacking in being salt and light. We are to be people who are like Colossians 4, 5, and 6 talks about. Let me get over this. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. We are to be flavorful in the way in which we present the gospel. So first, the first step in getting to the gospel is we must engage people and love our neighbors ourselves. We must be flavorful people. Don't just go off and not be like Jesus around other people. You need to seek to engage them as Christ would. You need to seek to appeal to them in a loving manner. You need to seek to love them. You can turn people off so quick if you just come down condescending if you just don't engage with them, and if you just kind of go about things not being seasoned with salt, not full of grace, not full of tenderness towards people, but just overbearing. That is not what we are to be. So in our first aim of getting to the gospel, our aim is to get to the gospel. Make sure you just don't ruin it right off the step, okay? Like, seek to be like Christ. Seek to be like him in that. The second step in getting the gospel is asking lots of questions. Asking lots of questions, okay? Now, we have a message to proclaim, but know that we are called to engage the mind in things. How many of you guys like to be around people that are just a know-it-all? Yeah. You know that you go, you sit down at the table with them, and all they do is just talk to you. And all they do is they never ask a question of you, they never engage you, and all they do is just push, 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 and then after about 5 minutes, it's like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else, because this is not very fun, and this is also, too, not very engaging, because he doesn't even care about me, he just wants to proclaim whatever he's proclaiming. Ask lots of questions. We always want to talk to people that are engaging us, and most of the time, when you're engaging people in dialogue, when you're asking questions, when you're getting things going, what you're doing is you're engaging the mind, which is a part of reaching people with the gospel. Paul, inside Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them." Okay, pay attention to that. That which is known about God is evident within them. God has given us a mind. Now, they're suppressing the truth by unrighteousness, okay? "For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Okay, we are called to engage the mind. God has given all of creation a mind and to be engaged with him. So ask questions when you're going to other people. Engage them in the truth. Ask them questions like maybe some of these. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? Do you believe there is a God? You know, there's atheists and agnostics out there. They say, what do you believe about God? Well, I don't even believe there's a God. Okay. Do you go to church anywhere? Which one? What do you believe in that congregation? Okay, just because someone says they go to church, as Daniel pointed out really well this morning, doesn't mean that they're a Christian. Too many times when we're new in evangelism, we hear, oh, you say that you're a Christian, or oh, you say that you go to church, or oh, you say you believe in Jesus. That's great. I was at a party 2 months ago, and at that party, I met this guy, and he's like, man, we were meeting at a church. So we're at this church, we're at this event, and the guy was like, yeah, I left the Mormon church 2 years ago, and he's here inside his church, and I was like, and I wanted to just say, that is so great, but I was like, I should dig a little bit more before I just assume. Kind of find out, this guy wasn't even a believer. He was still thought the Mormons were great people and everything, but he kind of was checking out another church, and I was able to jump into the whole entire gospel with him, and then also just asking questions and pushing back on Mormonism and different things while we were there. I almost did a faulty move and just automatically assumed, we're in a church, we're meeting here, he said he's left Mormonism, this guy's come to know Christ. Don't assume things. Ask questions. See where they're at in the relationship with Jesus. Who is Jesus to you guys? And what do you say? What do you say about him? What does your church believe about man and his condition? Okay, so there's some people that they say, well, we believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Okay, well, I mean, Mormons say that. What do you believe about man and his condition? Do you believe in a heaven and hell? Do you hold to a particular religious group? Why? What do they believe about the purpose of man? Some of them might be Hindus or Muslims. They might be Jews. What is your group? What group do you hold to, and what do they believe about our purpose in life, what we are to be about as people? Some other questions, if one can be saved from hell, how can they be saved in your view? So we are driving these questions to people because we're seeking to direct conversations. When we're engaging the mind of people, we are engaging their hearts, We are engaging different things that God is implementing into them, and we are directing the conversation with questions. Now, when I say ask questions, I don't mean ask questions like, what is your favorite color? That's a really nice dog. And all you do is talk about dogs for an hour, and then all of a sudden you're like, why didn't I ever get to the gospel? No, be specific in your questions with people. Direct your questions. Let your questions be directed to aspects of the gospel that the gospel addresses, that the gospel talks about. The gospel talks about God. The gospel talks about salvation. The gospel talks about our purpose. The God talks about man and his fallenness. Ask questions that you're seeking to get to know them and, hey, what do you believe about this? And once we are engaging the mind and we're engaging those things, we are to then begin to share with them the gospel. So you just don't ask questions and leave them hanging. Okay, it was great to know about you. There, I'm out. No, our purpose in engaging people, in engaging where they're at, is to start to, we're making the gospel personal. We're making our evangelism personal. We're demonstrating to them care, and we're seeking to understand where they're at. Maybe they are a Christian. Maybe they have some of the story somewhat right, but they don't actually understand the whole entire gospel. We're understanding where they're at. And it is key that then we begin to share the gospel, that we seize the opportunity. Okay, we've engaged them. We've been going on with them. Now we start to begin to ask these questions. As a Christian, and answer these questions, we say things like, as a Christian, I believe that God answers those questions in the gospel. And talk about those aspects in it. So when we're speaking to someone, really seek to answer the question at hand and appeal to their conscience. Remember what we said there, that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness there in Romans 1. For they suppress the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them. Appeal to people's conscience. I mean, I've met some pretty demented people doing evangelism. One time I met this one guy, and I was in Eagle. And I'm on the street, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, can I ask you a question? And we start just going down this, and I was like, he was a complete atheist who believed that all of morality was constructed by culture, every culture. I was like, so who was the first person then to construct culture and everything? He's like, well, that's actually a really good question. It's like, yeah, it is, because someone had to invent all this. But going back to it, some people, they suppress the truth so much where he's like, well, it's fine if we just kill everyone, if society is okay with it. And I was like, but then the more you start to hammer down that, all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, that's a pretty bad idea. God has put conscience, men have to suppress the truth of a God. They have to suppress the truth. Appeal to their consciences with the truth of God. Appeal to them with the truth of God. Talk about these different things. In the book, by Will Metzger, I'm trying to remember, it says Tell the Truth is the title of the book. Great book. I've read a little bit about it as I borrowed it from Daniel. He talks about appealing to the conscience, and I'm about to read you a quote here, so don't read it too much ahead of me. Listen a little bit. But inside this quote, he talks about just focusing on one thing. One thing. He says, sometimes we want to run through the whole entire gospel. But listen to what he says about focusing on one thing. He says this, running through a summary of the gospel does not evangelize a person, nor does the use of this tool guarantee your effectiveness, but it can help. For years, I reacted against any rote use of a method. I tried to be personal with others and let them lead the conversation where they wanted to go. And then I would bring in Christian truth as I could. This is still a valid approach in some of our relationships. Later, however, I began where they were and kept bringing them back to one element of the gospel, such as the biblical view of God or the biblical definition of sin, in order to leave a message in their conscience. Okay, I want to stop right there before I go on. Notice how he says he brought them back to one element of the gospel. There is times in which you're engaging with people and they don't even understand the concept of sin, okay? We need to understand what sin is, to understand why we need a Savior. And it is a part of sharing the gospel is helping them understand the gospel. So help them understand sin. And maybe you only have a couple minutes, but let God use that in their lives. Let the truth of what God's word says around sin to convict, to pull them, focus on maybe that one thing, if that's all you have time for. Now, hopefully most of us are engaging our peers in relationships with people. It's not just someone at the subway, which we don't have subways, or bus stop, whatever you want to call it here. Most of us don't have, most of the time we're not engaging with people that regularly. It's people who we're going to have ongoing relationships with. With those people, we can be building over time, but just sometimes focus on one thing, hammer down that inside their conscience, and be okay with just talking about that one element. Seek to talk about different sides of the element. Turn the diamond. Show them different aspects of it. This, he also goes on to say, this approach also has its place and can result in a significant contribution to a person's understanding of the gospel. I did not always cover all the points in a gospel outline or follow their order, but I was sure to define and give synonyms for Bible terms I use. Also, when you're talking about the Bible and appealing to their conscience, we use words like justification. Talk about it. Sanctification. Talk about it. What is atonement? What does that even mean? Make sure that you, if you're going to use a term, that you actually know what that term means before you use it. I'm going to leave that back right there. I want us, as we're evangelizing people, to engage their conscience. I want us to really be people who are engaging the mind with the gospel. We want to highlight sin. We want to highlight who God is. Remember we talked about how we must address that God is holy and eternal. Talk about the holiness of God. If all you have time to do with your little brother is sit down across the table from him and you get on this topic, be willing to divulge into it. Be willing to engage in it. Try to always emphasize, though, how this links back to Jesus Christ. You know, because we could talk about in general terms as God and sin and things, but talk about who Jesus Christ is and how it relates to him. Always try to pull the conversation to him and keep him at the center of what you do. Keep the whole entire gospel in view as you're walking through this. And if you have time, continue to walk through the whole entire gospel. If you have time and they're engaged and you can share the whole entire gospel and you're maybe not stuck in one aspect in which they're trying to understand, go through it all if you have the time. If you have the relationships, if you're able to engage well, continue to do it. And then fourthly, pray for the person when they leave. Many of us underestimate the power of prayer. You hear weird stories of how people are saved. Daniel was saying once, it's Lebanon or some country, they're throwing Bibles over fences. And someone found a Bible and they start reading, they're saved. I think Augustine, a hippo, he was in his backyard sitting down and he heard someone over the fence reading scripture. There's all these different ways in which God uses our simple words to convict people and to turn them to him. So sometimes we feel bad. Oh, I didn't get to this element of the gospel. I didn't. But pray for the things in which you got to share that God might use that seed, that he might water that. That he might use our lack of ability. In Colossians 4:4-6, we kind of highlighted that. I want to go on to this. That we recognize this. We pray for unbelievers. We pray that God might open their eyes and give them sight. It says, in whose case the God of this world, talking about unbelievers, has blinded the minds of unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's important to see that the evil one is trying to suppress the truth. He's trying to just pray for the light of the gospel to go forth in these people's eyes, that they might see, the truth of who God is. 1 Timothy 2:1-7 says this, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties, prayers, and petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray for all people, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, whoever they are. But guys, be praying for them. This is what God has ordained, in which this is something that pleases Him. This is something that we are to be doing on their behalf. So be praying for those who you're engaging with and talking with them. Now, I want to give this, we're going to get ready to do an exercise, so make sure that you kind of keep you awake a little bit. But many times we can get in this place of fear of thinking like, man, how do I convince someone, or how do I make someone get saved? One, you don't do the saving, and you can't convince someone of anything. Okay? We are called to present the truth. We are called to do it skillfully and to do it well, too. We just make sure that you know the gospel. But I want to bring up this. I was listening to a podcast this week, and they brought up this. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Okay, so who is the one who predestines? God. Who is the one who calls? Who is the one who justifies? Who is the one who glorifies? So feel free. Be free. This isn't on you to figure it all out. This isn't on you. God just calls you to engage and to be an ambassador for Him. You might be the one that He uses to reach people, to reach the ones whom He's called, to reach the one whom He is going to justify. But just be involved in that process and be open and being willing to it. So at this time, we're going to practice engaging with people in the gospel. I understand that many of you, this is kind of weird, and it's like, how do I even do this? I have these cards, and there's different religions on these cards, and there's different paperwork that basically outlines what they say about God, what they say about the goodness of man, and what is salvation, and how is one saved. It's kind of three things. What I want you to do is, how many people do we have here? We have probably about 40. So I would say let's divide up in groups of, I knew my math, six, groups of six. And when you divide up in these groups of six, I'm going to come around and hand you a paper, and there's going to be these little flashcards. So there's going to be universalist, Jew, Muslim, all these different things. And there's going to be a card. There's going to be also a piece of paper that's going to talk about what they believe. Someone's going to start off being the Christian, okay? And you're going to ask questions of that people, and then you're going to turn to do what we talked about. Ask questions of the people about what they believe, and you can just read the sheet. It's fine. Read the sheet about what they believe, and then you segue it to the gospel and say, okay, well, this is how the gospel addresses sin. This is what the hope that we have in Christ. Just all this is simply meant to do is to help you engage in conversation with other people and to practice, and for you guys even to help each other, like, hey, actually, I'm starting to talk about man's sinfulness, and I realize I don't know how to even talk about that. Or like, it's okay to mess up and to be like, man, I don't feel comfortable now. This is why we're doing it here. So that way, when you actually start engaging people out in the world, you can have practice and ability with other believers who can come alongside and be like, hey, this is probably what would help you here. Let's engage in these ways. Or this is this aspect of the gospel. Or, hey, I didn't know that. I need to go and review that more. Walk through those things. So divide up in groups of six, and I'll come over six groups of six. And if there's more, join one of those other groups, and I'll hand out these cards to y'all, okay? Oh, you don't know yet. Get inside your groups and pass out the flashcards. They're very well cut, so but pass out those flashcards to different people inside your group. Have everyone at least get one person inside each group. And if you look at that sheet, it talks about each different religion on that sheet. So, there's going to be someone who's going to start off being the Christian. They have two of them, if you need one. Tony does. Someone's going to start off being the Christian. Ask one of the people in your group a question like, hey, so what do you believe about God? Or how do you believe that we're good? Whenever that person is done talking to the first person who's another religion engages, that person then, once they get done being asked questions of, then becomes the Christian. Okay? So, there's going to be a Christian who's going to ask a Buddhist a question. Okay? When the Buddhist, or whoever you first engage with, is done answering those questions, you're done engaging, dialoguing a little bit, then all of a sudden, the Buddhist then becomes the person that's going to ask the next person questions, okay? So then you can start slowly working around. We only have 15 minutes, so make sure that one person doesn't spend 10 minutes just talking. I understand you might not get to everyone. And maybe if you're very uncomfortable, you actually might need to be the person that engages more. Because this is going to be a good practice session for you. So, okay. Just engage in general questions like we talked about. Just ask them questions about what they believe. So hopefully at this point, some of you guys have gotten some good practice. It is 12. So you can keep on practicing if you want after my prayer. Keep on going. But did you guys find that kind of helpful to engage and talk a little bit? All right, good. I know it probably wasn't as well laid out as it was in my mind when I initially said it. But I hope that was helpful. So let me close out in prayer, and then you guys can continue to stay and engage. And if you want great practice, this next Saturday, I'm going to be at the farmer's market. And I tell you, engage people. You just do. And you ask them, do you live here in Nampa? Do you have a church? And the moment you start talking about church, that opens up a whole entire field for a lot of other questions. So I'm looking forward. I hope that some of you guys come. If you feel uncomfortable, that's fine. No, I'm there. I can do most of the talking. You can stand there and even observe. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for each person here. And I just, Lord, hope that in just this very short time that we have to talk about evangelism, I just pray that you might use one or two elements from these conversations that we're having to really help them think about how to be engaging in the gospel with other people, how to be asking questions, how to understand, how to be communicating the gospel well. And so would you just please be working in each one of these people's lives? Would you bless them as they go out, Lord? And would you help us? Jesus, we want to be used by you. We want to be sent out into the field. We want more laborers to go, and would you give us opportunities to share the gospel? May we be bold and take up those opportunities, and Lord, may we see people come to know you, and may we disciple them, and we praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.